Father, we want to do that. Right now, we want to be still and know that you're God, that you're ruling and reigning. Lord, help us to trust in you because you reign. Help us to allow you to reign over us now and continually. Help us to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, open our hearts to what you want to speak to us right now. Thank you for your word, your living word, speaking through your word to us, Lord. And we pray that right now you would, that you'd get me out of the way. Lord, speak through me. Give us your message. Get me out of the way. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's look at that. Let's look at trusting in him because he reigns. And the title of this message is Trust in the Lord. He reigns. And turn with me to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. If you're new at this, there should be a Bible near you. Or if you don't have a Bible with you, it should be right there in the chair next to you. Just open it up. And Psalms is spelled P-S-A-L-M. And just open your Bible to the middle and then back up a little bit, and you'll start to see these Psalms. Let's look at Psalm 9. This is the Hebrew songbook. We've got our Baptist hymnal. Here's the Hebrew songbook. Here's a bunch of songs and praises to the Lord. And look at Psalm 9 here. And this one is mostly of David, David writing, and the title for the director of music to the tune of the death of a son, a psalm of David. And this psalm is mostly a praise by the king for God's deliverance, just praising God for his deliverance from other nations that were maybe pursuing or terrorizing this nation. And so it was a praise to this God who delivers. A praise to this God who delivers. And the occasion is not known when David wrote this psalm, what exactly was going on. But let's read it together and let's apply it to our lives so that we can trust in the Lord who reigns. Let's begin. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause. You have sat on your throne, judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. O Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked return to the grave. All the nations that forget God. But the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted ever perish. Arise, O Lord, let not man triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. Well, looking at this together, notice, first of all, in these first couple of verses, if we want to trust in the Lord, knowing and proclaiming that he reigns, you reign, Lord, I want to trust in you, you reign. Notice, first of all, worship him. That's what to do first. If you want to trust in the Lord because he reigns, worship him. That's what you see in the first couple of verses there. Look at that. Verse 1 and verse 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. There's worship going on here. Praise him with all your heart. That's what you and I need to do. If you want to trust in him because he reigns, that's a part of your worship. I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. Do it with all that you are. Praise him with all of your heart. You've already had an opportunity. We do that in many ways. You can praise him on your own. You can wake up early in the morning and you can just get alone with the Lord and his word. And you can go through the Psalms right here and you can start reading some of these Psalms. And you can kind of read them back to him and just put it in prayers kind of back to him. Like verse 7, let's say the Lord reigns forever. Well, you could just look back up to him and say, you reign forever, Lord. I praise you. You know, you can do it yourself. You can praise the Lord. You can think about all the incredible things about him. You can see a beautiful sunset, and you can just stop and say, Lord, I praise you. Look at this sunset. I praise you for your beauty. You can praise him on your own. You can praise him together with people. You've already had an opportunity. I've had an opportunity. Chris and Lisa have led us in some songs to praise him, to focus on him and praise him. Praise him with all your heart. You can go through the alphabet. If you can't think of anything, and just spend some time, you and the Lord, and start on A. Lord, I praise you because you're awesome. Lord, I praise you, B, because you're beautiful. Lord, I praise you. Who's got a C? You're the creator. I praise. Who's got a D? I praise you for your deliverance from evil. Look at that. You just praise him, worship him. And a part of worshiping him, we see here in this first verse, is praise him with all your heart. And then next, I will tell of all your wonders. I will tell, that's a way to worship him. Tell of all his wonders. What have you seen of the Lord? What have you heard of the Lord? A witness in a courtroom is somebody who tells what they've seen and heard. They were there. They saw this, and they get up on that witness stand, and they tell what they've seen and heard. Well, you know, I saw, you know, he was over here, and she went. They tell what they've seen and heard. You're a witness. Jesus said that in Acts chapter 8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea. You are his witness. So you're a way that we worship is to witness, to tell the world, tell everybody around us what we've seen and heard of him, the wonders of him. What has he done in your life lately? How many people have you told? Be telling everybody. And so we see that here. I will tell of all your wonders. How often does God do something wonderful in your life? And then if you're not careful, you don't tell anybody. You say, oh, thank you, Lord. That was so nice. But he says, tell of all his wonders. He just did something in your life. That's one of them. Who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell? Worship him. A part of worshiping him is praise him with all your heart. Take note of what he does and tell others. Hey, if you're afraid you're going to forget it, maybe jot it down or something. You know, God, this was so neat you did this for me. We always have opportunities here, except Sunday morning. If you come back here tonight at 5 or if you come here Wednesday night at 6, we always have a time of sharing and reporting. What are we doing? This right here. I will tell of all your wonders. We have a time where we just kind of open up and say, what have y'all seen the Lord doing? What's he doing? What's he been doing in your life? What's he speaking to you? What's he saying? Hey, if you need to jot it down, if he's doing a lot of things throughout the week, and then you come Sunday night or Wednesday night and you can't remember anything he's done, hey, jot it down. Why? Because we're supposed to be telling these things. Tell of all his wonders. Tell. I will tell of all your wonders. Jot it down if you need to and share it with people. Get it in your heart. Ask him to give you opportunities to share what he's been doing in your life with others. So take note of what he does and tell others. Next, sing praise to him. This is all still a part of worship him, these first two verses. Sing praise to his name. Look at that. That's what's next. Verse 2. Chris, I'm sure, likes this one. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Same thing. If you're going to worship him, sing praise to his name. You just had an opportunity to do that. You've been doing that. But you know, a lot of times I'm guilty of this, but if you're not careful, your heart might not be in it. You know, you can just sing the song and see the words there and sing it and your lips are moving. But it's a heart matter. Sing to him. Sing to him. You might not have a good voice. It doesn't matter. He didn't say those that have a decent voice or a little bit of a voice or a great voice. No, he just says, and he says it over and over as well. Sing to the Lord a new song. He just keeps on saying, sing to him. It's a way to praise him. Praise him. So sing to him. It doesn't matter. People will move away from you if it's that bad. Don't worry about it. You do what he tells you to. Sing to the Lord. And you can do this in a congregation. You can do this on your own. You can wake up early in the morning and you can get you a hymnal, or you can turn on Christian radio, or you can get some of the favorite songs in your heart that you know, whether they're hymns or whether they're choruses or a new song or whatever. And you can just sing to the Lord on your own, just praising him. Lord, I praise him. Just sing to him. That way nobody will hear you if you got that bad voice. If you're just by yourself, do it. Sing praise to his name. And you know, God just does something through singing to him. My grandmother, we call her Gangy. Just ever since I was little, don't even ask me. I have to figure out how we came up with that. Maybe we couldn't say granny or something. But my Gangy, I was just with her yesterday, and she just, July 4th is her birthday, and she just turned 90. What was it, kids, y'all remember? She's in her 90s, and she just turned 90-something, and so we went over to see her, and we were out of town on the 4th, and so we brought her a little present yesterday, and you know, she'll you can sit down with her, and she'll talk to you a little bit and stuff like that, but you know what, I hadn't tried to, and I'll talk with the Lord, I'll talk with her about the Lord, and you know, I got to talking with her yesterday, and one of the first things I asked was, are you feeling close to Jesus, Gangy? You know, oh yes, oh yeah, and you know, we got to talking about the Lord, that's all it took, you know, but I had not tried until yesterday, and all these years, I had not ever tried singing with her, and something just hit me, and sing praise to his name. And I started asking her, what are a couple of your favorite old songs or whatever? And she couldn't even really remember any. And I just said, I come to the garden alone. And she just started singing with me. And that's not like her right now at this stage in her life. You know, I was like, Mom, Gangy was just singing with me. Dad, she was just, and she just chimed in. And then by the time we finished singing, she had tears in her eyes. I was like, Gangy, what's going on? And she said, ooh, that just got me. There's something about it. God tells us to do it. Sing to him. Sing praise to his name. Next, he will defeat your enemies. He will defeat your enemies. Look at verses 3 through 6. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. And there's many kinds of enemies. Don't just think about people or anything. Many kinds of enemies. But the battle's not yours. It's his. And he will defeat your... You don't have the strength to do it. You can't do it. But he will defeat your enemies. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. But when my enemies are coming after me, they start falling down. How's that? Why? Because of the Lord. The Lord... They turn back, so my enemies start pursuing me, and then they got to turn around. Why? Because the Lord's with me, and the Lord's with you. My enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you, for you have upheld my right hand and my cause. You have sat on your throne judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. Boy, it's not good for If you're the Lord's and then your enemies, it's not good for them. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. Wow. He's your protector. He's your deliverer. He will defeat your enemies. And you say, what enemies? What enemies? Well, there's many different kinds. In verse 3, my enemies turn back. Well, what kind of enemies do you have? Well, think about this. What's an enemy of your relationship with Christ and your love for Him and your growth in Him and your fellowship with Him? What's an enemy of that? Think about that. That might alert you to some of your enemies. Anything that keeps you from Jesus Christ, your fellowship with Him. What enemies do you have? I've got mine. You've got yours. They can take many different forms. Sometimes they're temptations. You know your besetting sin. You know what really gets you. You know how the devil can really just get in your life in different ways. What are your enemies? Think about, what are you tempted with? What are your temptations? What about the world? What does the world throw at you that draws you away from the Lord and what He wants and His will for you? Watch out for enemies in that area, the world. What about your own flesh? What about the enemies within your own flesh? There's desires and things, and sometimes an enemy is an eating disorder or substance abuse or some kind of sexual immorality or a sexual temptation or addiction, or sometimes it's an anger problem or lying or I don't know what it is for you, but you know your enemies, and God will point them out to you. You can go before Him alone. You can shut your eyes right now, and you can, if you want to know your enemies, you can ask Him in your heart right now, Lord, show me any enemies that I have, because I see here in your word that you will defeat my enemies. I praise you for that, Lord. Whatever it is, the world, your own flesh, the devil is your ultimate enemy. Matter of fact, God says your struggle's not against flesh and blood. You might just be thinking, my enemy's that guy at work. It's that woman at work. Well, your struggle's not against flesh and blood. Read Ephesians 6. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And maybe it's Satan's hold on that person at work, and you feel like it's the person at work, but really maybe it's Satan that's got hold of them, that's using them. Maybe it's something demonic that's going on. But He will defeat your enemies. And next, He reigns. He reigns. Look at verse 7 and 8. The Lord reigns forever. He has established His throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. He reigns. The Lord reigns. And now the question is for you. He reigns. He's ruling and reigning over everything. But there's something unique about us human beings. We're the only creatures that God has made in His own image. And you take other animals we're not animals. We're made in God's image. But you take animals and things, and you look, and they do God's will. They don't have this sinful nature to deal with. But we have free will and choice, and we have the ability to love and to turn to God, and we're made in His image. And so He will allow us to rule our own lives and reign over our own lives to our own detriment, because that's what will happen. We're not meant to. He commands us to be filled with the Spirit. That means to be filled with Him and His presence and letting Him rule and reign over us, letting Him be in control of our lives. And if Jesus Christ is Lord, you must believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. And if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, the Scripture tells us. But if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you got to ask that question of yourself. Is that true in my life? There was a long time in my life up until I was 23 where He was not Lord. I was saying it. Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. But I was not allowing Him to rule and reign over my whole life, where I was surrendered to Him. And at any given moment, that's God's goal for us. Are you allowing Him to rule and reign over you? Are you surrendered to Him? We need to live that way. And next, trust in Him and praise Him. We see this in verses 9 through 12. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. He is your refuge and stronghold. Trust in Him. A refuge, that's a quiet place of protection. That's a refuge. You can hide out in a refuge, a quiet place of protection. He is that for you. He is your refuge and stronghold. He's your protector. You can hide in Him. And we need to praise Him. We need to trust Him. That's who He is. That's what He does in our lives. And then verse 10, those who know Your name will trust in You. For You, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek You. If you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him. The Scripture tells us that. If you seek Him, you will find Him. And then verse 11, sing praises to the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what He has done. Here it is again. Repetition, that's important. Sing praises to Him and proclaim among the nations what He has done. There it is again. Tell what you've seen and heard. Tell the wonders of the Lord. Tell all that He's doing in your life. He is your refuge and stronghold. Trust in Him and praise Him. Erskine, a friend of mine and gentleman that's been visiting our church who just recently, he's been battling cancer, and then after that, now he just recently had his leg amputated from about here down, or the foot and a little more than that. And I was with him this past week, and he said, the one thing me and my wife have really learned through this, you know, the cancer and then this, and I've been on my back in the hospital over here at Jackson for 30 days now. And he said, we were asking ourselves, God, what are You teaching us? What should we be learning? And he said, it all boils down to this, Derek. It all boils down to this. You can only depend on Jesus. That's it. And that's so much truth. That's been helping me all week. You can only depend on Jesus. When you have nothing left, he said, there's nothing anybody could do for me. This cancer, this leg, you know, the doctors can do the best they can, but it's not up to them. I couldn't do any. He said, I couldn't do anything for myself, just sit here in this hospital 30 days. And that's the main thing. You can only depend on Jesus. He can do it. He's the only one. You can't do it yourself. And it's the same thing to be saved from your sins and go to heaven, have eternal. You can't do it yourself. Nothing you can do. You can only depend on Jesus. And then once you are saved, to live the Christian life and be who God wants you to be, do what He wants you to do, you can't do it. There's no way. Read Galatians 2:20. You can't do it. You can only depend on Jesus. He lives in you and He wants to live through you. And He'll live the Christian life through you. You can only depend on Jesus. And so finally, call to Him. Call to Him. That's what we see in verses 13 to 20. Look at verse 13. Call to Him. Oh Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare Your praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion. So call to Him, just like the psalmist is here. Call out for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me and lift me up. Call on Him. You tell Him that. You go to the Lord. You say, Lord, have mercy on me. Say it often. Lord, have mercy on me and lift me up. Lift me up, Lord. What do you need to be lifted up from? He's the one. Go to Him. Lord, lift me up. Lift me up from this. What is it that you need to be lifted up from? Look at 15 and 16. Now we see a principle here. One of God's principles is you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And you see that in 15 and 16. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by His justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. We see that principle. You reap what you sow. But look at 19. Call to the Lord. Arise, O Lord. Let not man triumph. Let the nations be judged and your presence strike them with terror, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. Arise, O Lord. And so altogether, trust in the Lord. He reigns. And so worship him. No, he will defeat your enemies. He reigns. Trust in him and praise him. And finally, call to him. Let's do that. Father, we just come to you now and we call to you. And Lord, I want to invite anybody here. Lord, if there's someone here today who needs to call on you for salvation, Lord, if there's somebody here today who's not sure that if they died today, if they get in a car accident or if something happens, if there's somebody here today and they're not sure, 100% sure they would be in heaven with you, oh Lord, help them to get it right now. If there's anyone here with any kind of doubts about being with you forever, Lord, help them to call to you right now and say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I have these enemies I've been struggling with. I've sinned against you. Lord, I believe your word says the wages of sin is death. I know the penalty is death and hell and separation from you. I know there's no way I could ever get to heaven. I know that I can't be good enough. I can't do good enough. But Lord, the truth is you can only depend on Jesus. Lord, I know the truth is that you came for me. I couldn't do anything for myself. I could never get myself to heaven. But you came and you died for all my sins. You, the Son of God, God in the flesh, you came and you went to the cross and you took all my sins. I believe you did that for me. And you were punished for all my sins. And I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And so, Lord, I call on you and I say, Lord, save me from my sins. I trust you to save me. I put all my faith in you. And I trust you, Jesus. Come into my life. Save me from my sins. Have mercy on me. Help me to follow you. And I know I can only do that. I can only depend on you, Jesus, to live this life. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that free gift that you offer, Lord. Thank you for anyone who's called out to receive it, Lord. And now help them to stand for you, to come and share that, Lord. To do what you said at the beginning of this message, Lord, to declare the works of the Lord, to share what he has done. So if you've done that in anybody's life right now, help them to share it, Lord. And Lord, if there's someone looking for a church home, Lord, if this is the place you want them, help them to walk down this aisle and say, Lord, I'm coming to join this church family. Lord, if there's something else that you're working in our lives, as Chris leads us in this song, help us to pray about whatever you lay on our hearts and get that right with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you do whatever the Lord's telling you to. Now's the time to come. As Chris leads us in this song, if God's doing something in your heart or your life and you want to do what he says and share it, make known the wonderful things he's doing, you come as Chris leads us in this song, whatever it is.